We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
From the hills of Strawberry Canyon, I'm Coin Dang, and this is the Golden Bear Cast. Let's go. Go Bears.
And welcome back to another episode of the California Golden Bear Cast, a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. This is a Know Your Enemy episode. I'm here by myself right now recording because there were some technical errors that wiped out the intro to our podcast that you're listening to right now with the Stanford guy from the Gate 13 podcast, Eric. Just giving you guys a forewarning that this is the intro, and that you'll start picking up right as we start entering the questions about Stanford. So you guys miss the intro and all that we talked about, but we didn't really talk about much. We just made fun of Andy for not being here for the big game. He's in Mexico. So, direct all of your madness for him missing the big game. And if we lose, it's his fault because he wasn't at the big game. So direct it all at Andy J. Beast Mode on Twitter. But enjoy the listen. So let's talk about the Stanford season, right? We got to talk about where it is, where we're at, where it's been, how it's been going, what it feels like for you as a fan. Just walk me through it. The floor is yours. Tell me everything I need to know.
It's been, I would say, up and down feels a little too generous. It's mostly been down, but there was some optimism about the season early-ish. So Stanford opened, as we have sometimes in the past, in Dallas playing Kansas State and laid an egg on offense. We lost 24-7, I think. And it was, the offense was hapless, but we've seen that a lot with Stanford season. So we weren't totally giving up hope then. And then came back with a win at USC, which is, as any Pac-12 fan, is always fun blowing out USC in the Coliseum. Beat Vanderbilt, had a game that lost to UCLA at home that the offense didn't look great, but we were kind of close in the third quarter. Then had overtime upset over Oregon. So we're sitting at 3-2, which I think was better than most of us thought we would be, and had the big wins over Oregon and USC. So we were feeling like maybe not too optimistic, but a little optimistic there. It felt at least like, all right, the sort of 7-5, 8-4 that we were hoping for at the beginning of the season looked like we were going to hit that. And since then, we've been on a five-game losing streak, I think, now. We were knocked out of bowl contention after our loss at Oregon State last week. We sort of started with we had to replace our quarterback this season, started the first game rotating two quarterbacks, which was sort of surprising. We were expecting redshirt freshman Tanner McKee, who'd he was actually a 2018 recruit that was on a Mormon mission, came back last year, and then he had looked good in practice, which sort of all were expecting him to start, and they rotated him with the guy who was also a 2018 recruit, Jack West, who has played a couple times and not looked great in past seasons. So we thought McKee would have it. They both played in the opening game. After that, McKee started then became the full starter and actually looked great. Like, not totally polished, but like threw a great ball. And then he got hurt a couple weeks ago against Washington. We had a couple injuries to our receiving core, and that's where offense sort of started tailing off. And since he got hurt, it's looked pretty bad. there were some highlights at the beginning of the season, and now we're out of bowl contention. So it's been pretty rough. As Cal fans probably know, Stanford's been pretty good for the last decade-ish. We missed a bowl a couple years ago, and then last year with the pandemic, I think we were 4-2, but you know, that was a very strange season. I think most of us expected this season to be 6-6, 7-5-ish. Like, we felt like, okay, not good, but not terrible. So it's been pretty disappointing, and especially the last three games, the offense has been basically unwatchable. The defense hasn't been great in a couple of them too, but it's been a little rough. So it's a depressing year.
Yeah, I mean, the follow up I have to ask is, you know, all the Rye for Cal writers, like all of us that have been doing like some of the football reviews on Stanford and our predictions and whatever whatnot. It seems to be, as you were alluding to, like this offense goes, at least this season, as well as Tanner McKee goes. And that's the big question, is his health going into this game, right? And I believe he's questionable, is what the most recent coaching?
In this week's press conference on Tuesday, Shaw upgraded him to probable. And typically in the past, I can't remember a time that Coach Shaw has said someone was probable and they didn't play. Generally, if they're questionable, they don't play. It's a pretty clear line most of the time. So we're hoping he might play. I know there have been, I heard it was a knee injury, and then there were rumors about
like a broken tibia or something. I've heard too.
But it seems that, I think I read on one of the Stanford message boards that people had saw him walking with like a brace on his knee, but off crutches this past week. If he's probable, it seems like it couldn't have been something that bad. So we're now thinking he will probably play this week, but we're not positive about it. We've gone the past two games sort of through a rotation of backups. If you want to listen to two men in their 30s be baffled and complain about coaching decisions, our last two episodes are pretty good for that, of just like rotating quarterbacks within the same series, play by play, depending on down and distance. Had 2 weeks ago starting two different quarterbacks, and this past week played two other quarterbacks, one of whom was a true freshman who looked like he was starting to be okay, and then also went out with, I think, a shoulder injury. So he's now out for this week. So, it became a pretty big mess after Tanner McKee went down. So we are hoping that he is good to play this week. We'll see.
I mean, the true freshman that you're alluding to, for Cal fans who are listening to this, is Ari Patu, who is the younger brother of Cal outside linebacker Oren Patu, which I would have enjoyed. Yes. I would have loved to have two games back to back. Like, I'm hoping for the Garbers Bowl in 2 weeks, and I was hoping for a Patu sack on Patu. I love those storylines. It would have been great. It's not going to happen.
Unfortunately, no. He led his first touchdown drive last week and got injured basically on the last play.
So
and
unfortunate.
Then didn't play the rest.
So unfortunate.
Seems out. Very sad.
Well, let me pivot from the big picture stuff and let's go into the season and a little bit. I have a couple questions here from our writers at Rye for Cal. There are slight jab questions at the rivalry, but also, you know, real questions. So, like, I'll ask you the first one, right? And this has the joke question part and then the real question part that follows. The joke question part is, after COVID shortened season, we've seen more of a shift to normalcy in college football. Is it weird being back inside an empty stadium?
No, it's pretty, I mean, we're pretty used to it, so it feels about normal. I mean, it's like similar to you guys. Like,
you're right,
your
you're
season
right.
hasn't been.
As I said, we can jab all day long, all day long in a rivalry game. So like it leads us nowhere. It leads us nowhere.
Yeah. It has. I mean, it was nice to get back to watching football. But yeah, I mean, this is how Stanford football has felt since. Yeah, certainly since the Christian McCaffrey season. It's like, where you say if the team's not 11-1, they're basically, it's an empty stadium. I gave up worrying about it years ago.
I mean, so here's the real question, like added to that. Like, why does Stanford struggle to fill the stadium even when the team is good? Like, is it a marketing issue? Is it an engagement with the fans and alumni issue? Like, where does the disconnect lie?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. There's always, I mean, the go-to excuse usually from Stanford fans or Stanfords that, like, you know, it's a much smaller undergraduate population than the big public schools and lots of people not from California who then move back to other parts of the country. So there's like a smaller alumni base. But I'm always, that is always a slightly weird answer because I know if you look back at games in the 90s or 80s, 70s, like this, the old stadium that was even bigger, it was packed at times. So I think it is probably a mix of, you know, these days it's a lot easier to not go to a football game than it was 30 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Got nicer TVs. And I think some of it is also like, I think the athletic department probably hasn't done a great job of engaging the rest of the Bay Area and local communities to come to games. And I think, I mean, it's, you know, the game day experience is not, I mean, I have a group that I go to games and tailgate with a group of 10 people or whatever. And so, like, we make it fun. But if you're just going to a game, it's not like it's an amazing game day experience or tailgate experience. So I think it's like, they're all, like, I don't know how to fix the problem. I do think, like, start selling beer in the stadium would probably fix all attendance problems in the Pac-12. That seems like the obvious answer to that. I don't know why we haven't started doing that. I don't know. It's been that way, like, since, like, I went to school in the early 2000s during the dark days of Stanford football. But I know, like, I grew up in the South Bay and went to Stanford games in the 90s as a kid, and I remember the stadium being full then. So I don't know, like, what changed about going to football games in the last 20 years that changed that. But it's funny because I also, you know, Stanford basketball, when I was in school, we were really good, and that was as hard to get into as Duke basketball games. Stanford basketball has been pretty bad for the last decade or so, and now Maples Pavilion is also empty. And so some of it seems like it would partly be driven based on how good the team is, but it does seem like these days I feel like if you go back to like 2017 or something when Stanford was pretty good, once Stanford loses like a couple games and is out of the shot for the like Rose Bowl or BCS Bowl back then, it's like even the student apathy sets in and they lose interest. We may have been spoiled by that run of BCS Bowls in the early 2010s.
Yeah. Christian McCaffrey, Andrew Luck. Yeah. I would say.
It's a lot harder to watch these days without those.
I mean,
guys.
That's a great pivot to like another non-joking question. It might come off as a joking question, but I don't think it's a joking question. Like, do Stanford fans actually like watching Shaw's offense and his like coaching style, or is it just a painful process, but it delivers results and you're okay with that?
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I think the average Stanford fan would probably say no, it's hard to watch this offense. I mean, it's a little different going back to like the early 2010s. I mean, when Andrew Luck was there,
right,
it was amazing to watch mm-hmm. him, and guys like Christian McCaffrey and Bryce Love, who their individual performances were, I'd go to a game and you'd watch Bryce Love and he'd score an 80-yard touchdown every yep. game, and it's just fun to watch that. The rest of the, but like the offensive scheme is, I think most people do not enjoy it. And it's, I mean, I've never had a problem with the, like, you know, use the clock yeah. and run the football up the middle, especially, I mean, going way back to 2009, yeah. like watching Toby Gerhart just run yep. up the middle and get 5 yards and make USC defenders like frustrated yeah. and running the same play over and over. Well, I thought that was great to watch. But it is there, like, when the offense is bad, it makes it really hard to watch. Like, I mean, this year our running game has been very bad. And so watching us run up the middle for 2 yards on back-to-back plays and then throw an incomplete is not fun. And doing that repeatedly is extra not fun. I think, no, the average Stanford fan would definitely, like, say they hate watching Shaw's offense. And I think when the team does not have, like, a star that can sort of do something with it, it makes it
So I'm assuming you're not, well, I guess you could also say the average Stanford fan is not okay with Stanford or David Shaw electing to punt within the 40-yard line of the opponent on most cases.
It's controversial. yeah. Yeah, there are the, like, I'm probably an outlier in that I have often wished that we would just, like, attempt yeah. the 50-plus yeah. yard field goals in those situations. Especially this year, we've got a freshman sophomore this year, Josh Carty, who in uh-huh. high school would, like, kick 60-yard kicks. And, like, he's missed a few this year, but I'm like, yeah. I don't care. He's got the leg. Like, whatever. It's more fun than a punt. Let him kick the 60-yard field
I'm
goal.
I'm so for that. I'm so for that. All right. We were talking about the offense a little bit, and I mean that's the biggest question mark right now is what offense is going to show up. One of the questions that I had that I wanted to ask was, what's been the issue with the offensive line and their, like, the regression in their play? Because it's not like recruiting has dropped off. You're not replacing a crap ton of guys with, you know, lower average talent. So I'm genuinely curious as, like, a football fan.
I mean, it's, they've had a little bit of coaching turnover. So we have a new offensive line coach. I'm now blanking because the COVID season messed up my brain. New offensive line coach who took over our previous offensive line coach actually is with the LA Rams now, is their offensive line coach. So there's a little bit of turnover there. I think the biggest thing, like, is that these are all young guys. So Stanford last year graduated Drew Dahlman, who was a fifth-year senior, had played center for like 4 years. Mm-hmm. Foster Sorrell, who is, I think, also a fifth-year or fourth-year, he'd been hurt a little bit, but also, yeah. you know, an old guy when he left. And so now the line is mostly second- or third-year guys. We had sort of one... people who pay attention to Stanford football will greatly complain about, I want to say it was the 2018 offensive line. There was a window of offensive line recruiting mm-hmm. where they basically recruited nobody. And so in 2019, we had to start a bunch of mm-hmm. true freshmen when we had injuries on the offensive line. And those guys are like sophomores now and or juniors. There were guys last year who were starting as freshmen. But we don't have seniors and fifth-year guys on the offensive line. And so I think that's without not enough of an offensive line expert to pinpoint actual issues. But, like, that's the guess is that, like, yeah, these are guys who've they've maybe started for one season or played some backup stuff. But they're all relatively young. And I think on offensive line especially, you see that's like fifth-year guys really can dominate in the trenches like that. So I think that's part of the drop-off, but I think we would say that we were not expecting it mm-hmm. to be as bad as it's been this year. And they've gotten a little bit better over the last few games. I know our center now, Drake Nugent, who took over, he's also a third-year guy. He's, like, his Pro Football Focus grades the last few games have been way higher than they were early in the season, so some of that might be seasoning. I think we're hopeful that, assuming all these guys come back, next year the offensive line will be much better with like a full year starting together and another year of experience. But yeah, it's been rough this year, and I feel like it's got to, the only obvious thing would be youth. I mean, the coaching change probably, but it's also first year coach. I don't think he's making huge changes. And like you said, these guys were mostly high 3-star, 4-star recruits. Like, they weren't bad recruits when they were brought in.
Well, we talked about everything that I was curious about, and we got to dive into the nitty gritty, the general questions of that people want to know. So first off, which player on offense should Cal fans know about?
Yeah, so Tanner McKee, we talked about, if he plays, he's probably the most, I think it's clear he's the most important person on our offense. And you'll see, he's got, he looks like a redshirt freshman in some of his decision-making stuff, but he throws a really good football, and so that can be dangerous for opposing teams. Probably the guy that we maybe expected the least but has really come on was our tight end, Ben Jurosik, who he was, I think, decently regarded coming out of high school and stuff, but he has this serve. Even in the first couple games, he didn't play great, but he's come on recently, the last few games, as looking like one of the best tight ends that we've seen. Going back to, like, he reminds us of, like, Zach Ertz and Kobe Fleener, like, that level of player, and just like being able to both, he's fast and can like break long touchdowns after he gets it in the slot, but also like big and strong and can pull down jump balls and like get balls there in contention. So he's sort of been the breakout skill position player on the offensive side for us that is the most likely to do damage even when our offense
so
is
great
sucking.
Another tall tight end who can block and catch passes.
Yeah, he's a really good sophomore too.
Oh,
so
great.
Hopefully he's around.
Absolutely
for a couple
lovely
more years.
I love hearing about Stanford tight ends. Let's move to the other side of the ball. Which player on defense should Cal fans know about?
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
It depends a little bit on who's healthy this week. So our best defensive player, skill-wise, and I think probably how he's been talked up, is probably one of our cornerbacks, Caillou Blue Kelly. He was highly rated out of school. He's played pretty well in the past few games. Over the offseason, he was being talked up a lot by his Stanford coaches, more than we were sort of expecting. But then in our first game, he had an interception and had multiple pass breakups, and he's been pretty solid all year. He's maybe not quite at the level of some of the cornerbacks we've had in the past that went on to the NFL yet this year. He usually, like, he's maybe like missed one big play in a couple games, but like pretty reliable for getting some pass breakups, and definitely the toughest guy to throw against. He was out in the last game, which might be part of why Oregon State threw really well against us. But he's also, I think, listed as probable for this game, so we're hoping that he'll be back in, and that's he's probably been our most consistent top defensive player and the guy most likely to sort of make a big play for us on defense.
Well, we talked about the offense, we talked about defense as a whole. Is there someone that we're not talking about? Is there an X factor guy either on offense or defense, maybe even special teams, that could swing the game in Stanford's favor?
That's a good question. I'm trying to think, like, what I mean, it is one of the frustrating things about Stanford's performance this year and a couple years ago is, like, there are a lot of talented skill players on both sides of the ball that sort of seem to underperform their talent level. We do have, so like the offensive line has not been great, and we're the running game has been really bad for us this year. I think we're averaging 3 point something a carry, but we do have a couple running backs that they're both juniors in the past couple of years, have shown signs of being able to make big plays. Austin Jones and Nathaniel Pete, both of them. Nathaniel Pete especially is fast. I think he, either against USC or Vanderbilt this year, he had a big, 50-plus yard run for a touchdown. And so those are guys that, like, if the offensive line can create a little bit of space in the run game, like, they're both capable of big plays, and it hasn't happened much this year. But that's one of those things that, like, we keep waiting for. If Stanford's running game can get going a little bit. And against USC and Vanderbilt early in the season, those are by far our two best running games. And they both had big plays in those games. So that's, like, those are two guys that maybe if Stanford's really going to do well, it would be them getting a couple big
plays. Okay, so building off of that, what does Stanford need to do to win the 124th big game?
I mean, the difference that needs to happen from the last few games is scored some points, I think. Against Oregon State last week, we scored 14, lost 35-14 against Utah the week before. We lost 52-7, which was unwatchable. And then the week before, again, we lost to Washington 20-13. We had 13-12 lead, but, like, the defense was getting a few stops. Even last week, we talked about in this week's episode of our podcast that the defense made a couple stops. It was 14-0 at halftime. Like, if the offense had done anything, we could have, like, we were in that game enough that we could have at least made a game of it. So this is probably the dumbest thing you could say on podcast, but scoring points would be like they need, the offense needs to get in a little bit of rhythm that when the defense makes, like, gets a fourth down stop or gets a turnover, that the offense can actually do something with it. I think the other thing is that knowing what Cal has done, protecting the football, which Cal's, you probably remember off the top of your head better the turnover margin that Cal has this year than I do, but you guys have taken the ball away a lot, and we have not taken the ball away a lot in the last few games, especially with our weird quarterback rotations have not held on to the ball very well. So that seems like, you know, I'm expecting this to be a pretty low scoring close game based on how our offenses have done recently. And so that's, you know, not turning it over to a team that's good at getting turnovers is pretty key for us managing to not fall behind and then be unable to catch up with an offense.
Well, I guess you
kind of
answered that, but the follow-up to that would be, what does Cal need to do to win the 124th big game?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, if you guys get a 3-1 turnover margin or something, like, I think that probably puts us out. I mean, Stanford's defense has been not great this year, but good enough to keep us in some games, and a lot of times when we lose, it feels like it's when our offense is just, like, unable to do anything, like, can't sustain drives, can't move down the field. And so I think if Cal can do that to us, like the past five losses we've had that our opponents have done, like, it's if Stanford's offense can't sustain drives at all, then our defense will, like, I mean, we've got a very bend don't break style defense, and so if our offense can't stay on the field, then our defense, even if we keep it close through half the game, won't be able to late in the game. Again, I feel like these are things that you would say about any football game. But, I mean, yeah, that's like knowing that Cal is good at getting turnovers is probably the scariest thing about this game to me. And if you guys could do that again,
I mean, well, everything goes out the window as soon as a rivalry game kicks off. So it's just
hey, that's true. This, I mean, it's funny with this rivalry. I think I looked up, and I was looking up for our podcast this week that, like, and this might be the first time since the year 2000 that both teams are under 500 going into this game. And so it's like, this is going to be a particularly unusual big game in that, like, there's not a clear favor. I think the line on the game is 1.5 or 1 or something like that.
1.5, so. Yeah.
And it's McKee got declared probable, and we got a few points back. But, like, yeah, this might be, like, it's the one that I could maybe
guess. I think you could say that probably about all the California Cup matchups, like, are just everywhere, right?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. So we talked about Stanford. We talked about Cal. We're talking about the big game. Before I get your before I ask, like, the final two questions, the first one is, if Cal fans are visiting the forsaken area of Palo Alto, is there anything you'd recommend us to do or eat or anything of that sort before the game? It's a 4 p.m. game, so we do have some time to kill.
Yeah. I mean, the best thing about both Stanford as a school to have gone to as an undergrad and going for football games is that there are no open container laws on campus, and it's actually like a really nice place to tailgate. So like, honestly, it's a great tailgating place. And especially, I mean, knowing having been to Memorial Stadium many times, like, not
that's
a great,
probably the one thing I'll give you guys is that your tailgating your space around the stadium is that's top tier.
Like, so, I mean, honestly, I mean, Palo Alto's changed a ton since I lived down there. So, like, honestly, yeah, it's like, recommendation would be get a six pack of beer and walk around through the parking lots and the campus and like find other Cal tailgates or Stanford tailgates and like hang out like basically under the trees in the parking lot. I mean, it is probably the best thing about Stanford football games.
Okay. I mean, that's what we're doing. So, you know, I think that's what everyone should be doing.
Yeah, it's the right call. I mean, there's stuff to do nearby and it's not far from downtown Palo Alto, but like it's a nice place to tailgate. That's like, and honestly, parking lot's probably not going to be full. You can go even late and get a decent parking spot and tailgate spot.
All right. Well, I think our tailgate's going to be in lot 7. So if you're in the area and you want to come say hello, not just Eric, you, but other people who are listening to this podcast, you're more welcome to come and say hello. We'll be there starting, I think, 11 or 12 o'clock. So, all right.
Nice.
Final two questions. First, how do you see the game going?
Like I said, low scoring. I think I'm trying to remember what my prediction on our episode was. It was we couldn't bring ourselves to predict a Cal win. I think I predicted like 20-10 Stanford was what I put in there. I think the over under is 40 something. I expect it to be less than that. Like I wouldn't be surprised with a 13-12 kind of
after dark or a big game. I don't know when the last time that was.
We didn't get stuck with like a 7:30 Pac-12 network game a couple of years ago.
Was it 2019? 2019 was our win at the farm. 2018 was the delayed game for the smoke, and that was changed to a day game.
Yeah.
I can't remember what 2017 was. No, that was an afternoon game too. I remember sitting up in the second deck, so that was an afternoon game. I don't remember what 2016 was. So. Yeah, 2016 might have been a night game with Jared. That might have been the last one. Yeah. So we might have some Pac-12 after dark shenanigans. Yeah.
Yeah. It was second half. Exactly. Some nonsense will happen.
And the game ends like 11-8.
Yeah. So we have a Cheez-It Bowl style overtime of just like interceptions back and forth.
We've had the Cheez-It Bowl. One of my friends, Dallas, on Twitter dubbed the Arizona game the Cheese Nips Bowl. So. I don't know what the third edition of that version is. What's the Safeway brand of Cheez-Its? Like, whatever that is. But it's probably going to be that. And it might be this big game that happens. Well, all right. Well, the last question we always ask is, and I always have to preface this, we do not condone violence. We do not condone violence. But if you were in a bubble with no repercussions, and once again, we do not condone violence, whom would you most want to punch in the face?
Like
anything, doesn't matter. We've had people say anti-vaxxers. We've had people say some mascot, their neighbor that keeps taking their parking spot. We've had a wide variety of people.
I feel like I'm gonna get in trouble saying this. Although the easy answer is honestly Oski. Oski's got a pretty punchable face, and like Oski's pretty punchable. Oh, actually, now that I think about it, I think I'd rather punch Tommy Trojan in the face. Because you mentioned mascots, that's what's in my head now. I'm like, how do I order Pac-12 mascots that I want to punch? I would rather punch Tommy Trojan or the USC drum major. I really hate USC. That's what you'll learn if you listen to our podcast. It's like. The USC band drum major. That might be who I want to punch in the face.
There it is. I mean, they just play that stupid, stupid jingle every single time. That's the one thing.
I know. It might shut them up if I punch him in the face.
That might be the only way we stop them from doing that like 6-note jingle that they play every single game.
Exactly.
Good God. All right. Well, that's all the questions I had. I appreciate the time, Eric. And after all of the technical difficulties,
my pleasure,
people won't know. People will never know all the technical difficulties that went on in this episode. But where can the flying people of Berkeley, if they wanted to know more about the Stanford and Palo Alto people and listen to your guys' podcast and get you more info, where can they find you and how can they interact with you guys?
Yeah, I mean, the easiest thing for us is just search Gate 13 Podcasts wherever you listen to podcasts. Unless we've messed up in the past 4 years, we should be up everywhere. It's the number 13. We have a SoundCloud page that has it too, but you should be able to find it anywhere. Or follow us on Twitter at the Gate 13 Podcast. Is it at Gate 13 Podcasts, I think? I can't even remember. At Gate 13 Podcasts. We do this mostly for ourselves and our friends, so we're really bad at any kind of self-promotion.
But there you have it. If you want to listen to the Gate 13 Podcast, they're great. Go take a listen. I believe what they're saying is they have a Cal preview podcast up. So if you want to get yourself...
Yes, it should go up. I don't know when this is going up, but Thursday.
Yeah, this
for
is
Thursday
you're probably
morning.
This on Friday before the game. So if you want to get yourself hyped up and angry and you want to listen to Stanford fans, there's the podcast. Go listen to it, Cal fans.
It might make you guys feel a little better. Like, we're pretty down on our podcast these
days. Well, if you want to make yourself feel better, I guess, before the big game, that's the podcast to listen to. All right. Well, once again, Eric, thanks for your time. And from me, the Golden Bearcast, as always, go Bears.